In Proverbs chapter 12 this evening, we're going to be reading from verses 11 through verse 18 tonight. Last week we were in verse 10, looking at the subject of treatment of animals. I'm just going to title this this evening, Honest Labor and Truthful Words. This is something we keep running into in the book of Proverbs, and we don't want to miss anything that God has for us. Beginning in verse 11, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto a counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for Thy blessings upon the reading of Holy Scripture. Father, we thank You for this evening, for this time that You've given us together with one another. We pray for Thy will to be done. Pray, Lord, that You'll continue to lead us and guide us and teach us Your truth and to teach us Your Word. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to it. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, this is the fourth message in this chapter. We're going to cover several verses here and maybe finish the chapter up next week. But notice as we come here, and again, there's repetition as we come through the book of Proverbs. We're really all of the Bible. And God makes sure that we don't miss it. If we do miss it, we'll run into it again and again and again. We see many subjects like that. But notice us coming here to verse 11. We find that he says here, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." Again, we see here the issue of hard work and honest labor brings reward of plenty to eat. And this principle, again, we've already run across it. We'll run across it again in chapter, if you're taking notes, chapter 29 and in verse 19, chapter, let me see here. Let's go to chapter 28, 28 and in verse 19, again, it says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." And so there's a contrast, as we've seen always in the book of Proverbs, between the wise and the unwise. And in chapter 12 and verse 11, he mentions also the vain persons. He says they're void of understanding. And so we would find the principle of work, tilling the ground, things of that nature. If you want to write these down, I'm not going to turn to all of them. But in chapter 14 and in verse 4, he said, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." In other words, just simply showing again the animals that are working the fields and so forth. And if you don't have any animals to work the field, then that's what he's trying to get across. Also in chapter 14, verse 23, he says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury," and that is to poverty. Now, there are those that talk about it and never do it, and they will come to poverty. In Genesis 26 and verse 12, Isaac sowed in a particular field. And we see, it mentions God's blessings upon that field. But he also mentions here the vain persons. In verse 11, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread." Those have plenty to eat. But he goes on to say, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. In Acts chapter 5, if you want to write this down, verse 36 and verse 37, we find a man rose up and others followed him and they went to their death. In Judges 9, Gideon, one of Gideon's sons, Abimelech, he had vain persons that followed him to do evil. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 to be not slothful in business. Then we have great warning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10 through 15. And also in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, the severe warning for those who refuse to work and will be idle. So in verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. We have a lot of people in our country that follow vain persons. Notice now as we come to verse 12. He said, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Again, comparison between the wicked and the righteous. Now when he says here in verse 12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men. If you look at commentaries, you probably find three or four different interpretations to that statement. I believe what he's saying here when he says the wicked desireth the net of evil men, I believe what he's saying here is that the wicked seek every means of evil as a net to ensnare or trap other men in order to take advantage of them or to take their goods from them. Those would be like a net, using a net to catch an animal or something. And so evil men, wicked men, will use these means. In other words, they try to fortify themselves by wicked practices. And of course, we see in the chapter and in the text that God will judge that individual. But he also mentions in verse 12, he said, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Again, we have this contrast. The root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. There's a number of places in Proverbs, but we'll step outside of Proverbs just for a moment. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, let me read verse 7 and 8 first of all. Again, this concept again is given to us all through the book of Proverbs, and it's also given in many other places in the Scripture. Another place would be Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. And the first few verses are a prophecy of Christ's ministry when He came. But again, it mentions this same concept. Now notice in verse 7 and in verse 8 of Jeremiah 17, he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. In other words, he's going to be spared from that. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought. In other words, won't be worried and fretting. And then it says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's the individual that's trusting in the Lord. Now, the person that is not trusting in the Lord, if we back up to verse 5, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath, that is like a tumbleweed in a desert. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. And it says, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. So we have again the contrast here. And then of course he speaks of the heart of all men in verses 9 and verse 10. Now come back with me to our text in Proverbs and reading verse 12 again. So we see the root of the righteous. In other words, he is rooted in in the things of the Lord, and he brings forth, or she brings forth, fruit unto righteousness. Verse 12 again. The wicked desireth the net of evil men. In other words, I believe that's referring to love to trap them, take advantage of them. And then he says, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. In other words, being a fruitful individual, not only as far as crops and things, but spiritually speaking, being a fruitful Christian. Notice now as we come to verse 13. He says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. In other words, the just will avoid all the troubles that the wicked bring upon themselves just by what they speak. Not just all that they do, but by what they speak. In other words, he speaks here in verse 13, the lips of the wicked. Write down Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verses 12 through 13. He describes the wicked here. And I'll just read the one verse, beginning in verse 12. He said, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. He continues on to talk about the foolish words that come from the wicked. And so, coming back here to verse 13 again, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. In other words, the sin of the tongue is self-incriminating. And that's what we see here in this text. If a fool talks long enough, he'll always give himself or herself away. And one writer said, a liar needs a good memory. They're always saying one thing and another thing and contradicting. They need a very good memory. You don't have to have a great memory if you always tell the truth. But if you're a liar, you know, you need a real good memory so you can keep up with your lies. A second Peter, for the just here and avoiding this kind of problem, write down second Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. You know, those that came against Christ, you read about this in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. The wicked, they came against Christ and they gave themselves away with their mocking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice now as we come to verse 14. In verse 14, again, we'll keep covering verses like this as we go through the book, and we don't want to miss anything, but there'll be some I'll just make some reference to and we'll move on. And there'll be certain times when I'll camp out in a verse, like we did last week, when I feel the need to do so. Notice as we come to verse 14, he says here, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense, that word means payback, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered, that is, returned unto him. And the thought here is, reaping what we sow in speech as well as in deed. In other words, the things that we would do with our hands. And so, again, there are so many verses. Notice in chapter 13, verse 1, he says in chapter 13, verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. You'd find this concept again in chapter 14 and in verse 14. He said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, thinks he's right. We're going to see this again in our next verse in chapter 12. But the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And he says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. And then in chapter 18 and in verse 20, again, every chapter just about deals with this, but chapter 18 and verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. As a matter of fact, chapter 18 and verse 21, we've already read this a number of times in this series, but he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And that's so true. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're going to see a verse in a few moments that parallels with that. Notice back with me in chapter 12. In chapter 12, coming back to verse 14, a man should be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense, again the payback, of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. This shall be returned unto him. We're identified by our fruit, the things that we produce, in our words and also in our actions. And we've turned, I'll not ask you to turn to it, but a number of times I've read this passage in the Proverbs series. But in Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, beginning in verse 33 through 37, I want you to listen to these words. There's great emphasis laid upon our words. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now listen to this now. He's speaking to his generation. This is the Lord. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word..." Do we really believe that? That's serious business. "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Verse 37. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In other words, words are the evidence of what has taken place inside the heart. And so there's great emphasis that is placed upon not only our actions, but also our words. Notice now, as we come back to chapter 12, and this time we're coming to verse 15. He says here in this verse, he said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So we just keep having that comparison. Those two groups of people that live on planet Earth. Not many other groups, but two groups of people. Those that are saved and those that are lost. And those that are righteous and those that are unrighteous. And in this passage, and we could really camp out in this one, I have an entire message out of the book of Judges dealing with this here. He says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." In other words, the fool is sure of himself. He's confident within himself. But a wise man will listen to advice and learn. I'll give you an example, chapter 1. We went back to chapter 1 many times. Let me just read one verse in chapter 1. It's going to be verse 5. I want you to notice here about a wise man. The proof of wisdom is a teachable spirit. A wise man or a wise woman will have a teachable spirit. It says in verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." In other words, he will go to the right counselors. Now, in our text, and there's many other passages we could consider, and I'm not going to turn to them, I'll give a few. But coming back to this, he said in verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." We don't want to be a fool. And Judges 2:19, and also Judges 21, I believe it's 29, we find that the people, God had given them judges. In other words, they were doing what was right in their own eyes, which was wrong with God. So He gave them judges. And the judge would deliver them from their enemy and set them back on the right path. And it was no time they're back off in rebellion again. It's either with idols or whatever the case may be. And the Lord addresses that in chapter 2 and verse 19. And then also he addresses the fact that there was no king, that people did what was right in their own eyes. We got an entire message just on that subject. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 19, we find someone who convinces themselves that they're okay. You ever witness somebody and talk to them about, oh, I'm okay? You ever try to talk to somebody about their sin? Oh, I'm okay, I'm good, I've got this thing. And they don't. And we find them right here in the Bible. Rehoboam was a king, and he was a man that refused the counsel of the elder men. He went to his peers and said, what do you think I ought to do? Think about the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, both of them going to prayer. The Pharisee was quite confident in himself. He's quite confident in what he had accomplished, you know, and so forth. And the Lord lets us know which one was really justified. Well, he says here in verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That should be the only verse we need to keep us on the right track, but the Lord gives us hundreds because he knows that we are hard-headed sometimes. Notice he said in verse 16, he said, a fool's wrath. Don't underline that. A fool's wrath is presently known. In other words, it's just about immediately known, or at least known in the same day. It don't take long to see a fool's anger or a fool's wrath. They'll let you know it pretty quick. He said, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Now, a lot of verses on this. We'll take just a couple here in Proverbs, and I'll refer to a few others. Notice in chapter 16, let's go here first. Chapter 16 talks about a fool's wrath or a fool's anger. It's well known, presently known, because they'll expose themselves. But he said a prudent man, the man that's cautious in his words and his conduct, a prudent man, said a prudent man covereth shame. Notice chapter 16 and verse 32. He says in this passage, he said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. How many want to be better than the mighty? Be slow to anger. And he said, and he that ruleth his spirit, notice that he that taketh a city. Notice again, as we come to chapter 29. Chapter 29, reading one verse, chapter 29. And I should have given you some other verses on chapter 15. I mean, like I said, we're going to cover them all if the Lord tarries. And if He doesn't tarry, He's be a much better teacher. He'll teach us all what we need to know. In chapter 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Again, chapter 14 of this book, chapter 14. God deals with this a lot because He knows that humanity, we all have dealt with it. Chapter 14 and in verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Notice also in verse 29 of the same chapter. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And again, I'll just give you this one, Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse 9. It says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So we honestly say that those who are angry a lot, they, according to the Scriptures and according to God, they would be a fool. They would not be one that is wise. And also we find that in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, it said that Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he said, heat up the furnace. And we know how all that turned out. But he was a furious man. And we know that God put him out to pasture for a while after that in another chapter until he was willing to repent. So back in our text here in chapter 12 and in verse 16, he says, "A fool's wrath is presently known." He goes on to say, "But a prudent man covereth shame." In other words, it's like he conceals it. He holds his words. He controls his anger. He bears things with patience. He is not easily offended. Some people are so easily offended. And he covereth shame. The shame of injury done to him by others. He's able to deal with it patiently. And there's a procedure if you need to talk to someone that's, you know, that they've got a problem with. There's a procedure given to us in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 and other places. You're taking notes, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4. We're speaking of the prudent man and how that he deals with it. I want to remind you, and I debated where to use these because I'll probably end up using them this Sunday. I'm going to be dealing with some things on God being high and lofty, and He dwells with the humble and the contrite heart in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. And so these verses came to mind with that sermon, but let me just read just a few of them. The Bible said in James 1, verse 19 and 20, He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Usually we're the opposite of that. Put that in reverse. And He said, now here's the reason to be slow in wrath. He said, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Our anger and our wrath and our vengeance never, ever, ever brings about the righteousness of God. And also, as you read through this book, chapter 3, we've turned to this and read it many times. He speaks of the wise man, and he speaks of the wisdom that is from heaven, and then he speaks of the wisdom that is devilish and sensual and earthly. And associated with the wisdom that is from hell, we find that it has bitter envying and strife and things of that nature associated with it. And of course, Romans 12, verses 18 through 21. I think we're going to be using that text probably toward the end of this month on a sermon if the Lord continues to lead me to preach on it. Now, verse 16, tremendous verse. A good warning and comfort to the righteous. He said, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." Then in verse 17, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Again, always speak truth. False witness is deceit. In other words, it's a concealed falsehood. Truth misrepresented. We need to be like the Lord Jesus in John 17 and verse 17. He's going to sanctify His disciples with truth. His word is truth. Jesus spoke the truth. All the apostles and prophets and the scriptures spoke the truth. Notice our last verse, and this is verse 18. He said, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." When he speaks of the sword here, as words, words have the power to penetrate where no sword can touch. And that is the soul of an individual. A sword can't penetrate the soul. But words can penetrate the soul, either for good or for evil. And I want you to think about this. Let me give you one other passage. Well, actually, you can write down chapter 16. Chapter 16 and in verse 24. He said, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Also in Colossians chapter 3, we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what we're commanded to do. That's how we're to speak to one another, not harsh and rude. And he said, let me find it here. Yes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how we're to be speaking. And then in chapter 4 of the book of Colossians, he says this. He said in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So there's a lot in the scriptures about our words. But again, we find here that the sword is used. He said, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is held. Again, words can go to the soul, that a physical sword might can hurt the body, but it doesn't hurt the soul. But words can destroy souls. And this is why that the Lord, I believe, in Matthew 5, verse 21 through 22, that he makes a statement about the tongue and the use of anger, that basically an individual is guilty of murder in their heart. You remember, we talk about if a man looketh upon the woman, he's being guilty of sexual immorality. Well, if a man with our anger in our hearts towards someone else, we can be guilty of murder in our hearts. Read that. That's Matthew 5, verse 21 and 22, a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, we'll pick up in verse 19 next week. Will you stand with me, please? Father, we do thank Thee for this day, for this time that You've given to us. We thank You for Your love and mercy to us. We thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You also for the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us along and to teach us. And Lord, we just pray that we'll not let these words drift from our minds and hearts, these words that You've spoken here in the book of Proverbs. Lord, we pray that we'll take them to heart, believe them, and practice them. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.